I'd like to share with you a lesson this morning. I've titled Doing Life Together. And I've got a little prop here to start us out. And I've also asked Chico, a.k.a. Samson, to come up here and help me out a little bit with this. I've got a couple of strings. This is a single-strand string, and this is a little thicker, not real thick. So why don't we start with that one? Can you break that one, Chico? Got to give it a good try now. You're going to have to put your muscles into this one. Oh, okay, there you go. Okay, now give that one a try. A little tougher? Are you pulling good? All right, sir. Thank you very much. Now, that's very simple. But that says exactly what Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, our scripture reading this morning. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We are better and stronger when we're together than we're separate. Amen? And that's what this morning lesson is about. We're better together when we do life together. We're stronger together when we do life together. And Ecclesiastes 4 says that so, so clearly. Next Sunday, and this Sunday, I'm going to be sharing with you some information about care groups. This morning's lesson is more about the importance of doing life together. And care groups are one way we learn as Christians to do life together. It's not the only way, but it's an important tool in helping us do life together. And next Sunday morning, I look forward to sharing with you some of the nuts and bolts of our new care group ministry program that will be beginning in just a matter of weeks. This afternoon and next Sunday afternoon, we'll have training sessions for the group leaders and their spouses, and then they'll be ready to get going, and sign-ups for care groups will be next Sunday morning. So come prepared. We'll pass around a sign-up sheet. We want you to participate. We're not going to strong-arm you in the sense of, you know, too strong. We'll just send Chico after if you don't sign up. So don't worry about it. What we're going to do is just sign up for care groups because we want you to be blessed by this as an opportunity to do life together. This morning, we're talking about the importance of doing life together. Care groups are one way we do that. Next Sunday morning, we'll talk about the nuts and bolts of our new program. You'll have the opportunity to sign up. Now, when we think about doing life together, we need to go back for a theological basis for that. And it really roots in the Godhead, or Trinity, if you prefer the theological term. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all eternal, all almighty, existing in perfect unity together. The togetherness of God cannot be broken. The Jews had the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord our God is one. That was their creedal statement that we would say, to say God is one. They failed to understand that Jesus and the Holy Spirit were part of God himself. But we as Christians understand that fuller revelation of God's being. Think of it this way. God calls us to mirror his connectedness within himself through our relationships with each other. Now, I understand we're not going to have the degree of connection that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit demonstrate. But we will be connected like God is connected within himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, we read it this way. The body is a unit, and though it's made up of many parts, and though its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given one Spirit to drink. We are part of one body. A church is a part of the body of Christ, and we're individual members of that body. And just like our physical body is one, and by the way, I do not even want my fingernails amputated, but I'll suffer through it if I have to. I don't want to give up any of that body, do you? We're all together one. Last year, I injured my leg, my right leg. And I had a bum leg for weeks. In fact, I walked with a cane for 3 or 4 weeks. You may remember me kind of hobbling up here to preach a few times. Well, the rest of my body had to favor that bum leg until it could get better. And it took quite a while to get better, and eventually it got better, and I'm thankful for that. And I can do normal stuff again without the cane. That's even better news. My point is, my body had to work together to favor my weakness. The church, brothers and sisters, we are a hospital for sinners, not a rest home for perfect saints. We're all sick with sin to some degree. We've been forgiven of that sin by the blood of Jesus. We are in the process of being saved from the power of that sin, but we still deal with the reality of sin in our lives. We've been scarred by sin and damaged by sin. No one is perfect here. So under the Lordship of Christ, we band together to serve each other, to connect with each other, to help each other through life, just as the rest of my body had to help that old bum leg for a while. We all have times of weakness. We all have times of rough patches. We all have times when we need somebody to come alongside us and help us through those rough patches of life. Back in 2008, I had major surgery. It was 9 hours long. Long surgery. A dozen friends of ours came and sat with Nancy and our adult children during my surgery. And of course, I slept through the party. And one of the serendipities of that event is this. I, the minister, got ministered to. I, the one who was used to serving others, has others serving me. People were bringing food to our house when I came home from the hospital so Nancy could give her attention to trying to nurse me back to health. And we had blessings of people coming, and we had blessings of cards, we had blessings of prayers. And the point is, the body of Christ came together to help what was at that time one of its weaker members. Brothers and sisters, we need to care for others, and we need to be cared for by others. Just like we have a nuclear family, that is the people under our roof at home, that's what we call the nuclear family. It has nothing to do with the explosions that may occasionally happen in your household. But it has to do with the fact that we are all part of a nucleus of an atom. We're all bound together. We live under the same roof. In the church, we are kind of a nuclear family as a body of Christ. There are other Christians, other congregations. We understand that. We praise God for that. But we are the nuclear family of Christ here at Lassen Street. In a similar way, the church, we have close friends and we have acquaintances. And in larger congregations, there'll be people that you don't know at church, and that's okay. But here's something that's scary that I heard. I heard this from a reputable source. I won't quote it, but it's not a guy who throws around statistics lightly. He said it this way: the studies have shown that California is the most disconnected state in the union with other people. Folks in California, by and large, suffer with loneliness more than any other state in the country. Too many people in our society are trying to do life alone with only a few connections. In fact, overall in America, the percentage of people in America as adults who identify themselves as lonely has risen from 20% to 40% between 1980 and the present. Ever feel lonely in a crowd? Maybe at the airport, you're waiting for a plane, and there are hundreds and thousands of people around you. Maybe you're even scrambling to get a seat. But a sense of loneliness overcomes you because you do not know those people around you. Back in 2000, Robert Putnam authored a book he titled Bowling Alone, The Collapse and Revival of American Community. His thesis is, as Americans, we have become a society of strangers. Too many of us have too few strong friendships. We have many acquaintances, but few friendships. We measure our true friendships not by the number of people that have befriended us on Facebook, but those that we actually have day-to-day, regular, face-to-face communication with. Our connectivity is lacking in our nation, and particularly in this state. We need meaningful relationships with others to buoy us through life. When my leg was bummed, I needed a cane. I needed to do a little less activity than normal. And I needed a little sympathy to him sometimes from some people too. It also had bum legs and knew what it was like. Our connectivity, again, is not measured by the number of friends on Facebook, but the people we have relationship with, and also those good friends that you feel like you can call at midnight if something came up. Many years ago, the group Three Dog Night had a hit song, "One is the Loneliest Number," and they're right about it. And the heart of the Christian premise is this: we must do life together, not apart. We're stronger together than apart. As Christianity grew, however, here's what happened. The personal nature of the Christian faith that was very evident in the first few centuries in the early church became the impersonal institution of Roman Catholic Catholicism in the Middle Ages. Have you noticed that? Christianity moved from being a very personal-based religion where you knew people, where you fellowshiped with people, where you gave life together, to becoming an institution. That's a problem. And we still sometimes bear the scars of that problem, even in Restoration churches, when we become more institutionally based than people-based. And we forget our purpose, that ministry takes place through relationships. And that's the irony. The Christianity that began in homes and in small groups, and yes, they met in the temple as well, Acts chapter 2, but it also began in small relationship groups, became impotent when it went into big institutional formats. Now, every big church needs a multitude of small groups. Now, whether they call them care groups or they call them something else is immaterial, but we need places to fit in relationship with other people. They're ministry task teams. They are care groups in this church. They're people that work together on task, as 14 of us did with the disaster relief unloading yesterday. The problem is not big churches. The big problem is big churches who do not have small church mindsets of having fellowship groups where people can be together and do life together. We need those smaller groups. Frankly, our adult classes are not run on a model of fellowship. They're run on a model of instruction. And they do a good job of providing the instruction and the Word of God, but they're not primarily to build relationships. And that's why we need care groups. Because the primary focus of care groups is not Bible instruction, it's building of relationships, it's doing life together. It's calling people into healing relationships with one another, supportive relationships with one another, to love one another and to care for one another. That's what care groups are about. Now, the early church in Jerusalem had both small groups and large groups. We read in Acts chapter 2 these words, beginning in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles, signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's a large meeting. And they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That's a small meeting. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The early church had large groups and small groups. The church in the 21st century needs large groups and it needs smaller groups. We'll talk more about those care groups next week, our smaller groups. Now, our care groups will fulfill these script passages. Not only the passage we just read in Acts chapter 2, about meeting not only in the temple, but from house to house. But it'll also fulfill these scriptures, Romans chapter 12 and this verse 15, where the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Come alongside and be excited for people who are having some good time and be prayerful and supportive of those who are going through troubles. We need to do both. We might call our care groups empathy groups. Empathy is a feeling with someone else's pain or joy. To empathize well, I should say, you have to have thinking of an experience in your life where the feelings might be similar to the one this person is feeling. And when you reach back in your life experience and catch that feeling that you had at that moment of joy or that moment of pain that might be similar to what your friend is going through, then you can begin to empathize, to begin to feel with them. Care groups help us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep or mourn with those who mourn. Another verse that care group helps us fulfill is Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 5. Verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in that way you'll fulfill the will of Christ. But verse 5 says, for each must bear his own burden. And some people have looked at these two and said, oh my, those are in conflict with each other. Verse 5 says you bear your own burden, and verse 2 says you carry each other's burdens. Now, which one's right? They're both right. Maybe an example will help. When we left York, Nebraska for California, we had about 24 friends, help us with packing a loading truck, a moving truck. And I'm sure glad they came, because my muscles weren't up to doing it all myself. And I don't know about you, but you know, moving the big stuff, moving the freezer's hard. I don't want to move the freezer by myself. Do you? Sometimes you just got to have help. Amen? Sometimes you just got to have help. But we had about 24 friends who helped us load the truck. Some of them helped with packing and stuff too. But whose responsibility was it to see that we moved? Mine. I had to arrange the details. I had to be in charge of it. But I had friends there to help. So I bore my own burden, but it was my responsibility. Yet I allowed others to carry my burden. Verse 2. That's what a moving party is like. And by the way, when we got here, we had a dozen people here that I did not know, most of them yet, who came and helped us unload. Thank you very much. It's part of the body of Christ. John 13, verse 13, is another text that we fulfill with our care groups. Jesus said, "By this all men will know you're my disciples if you do what? Love one another." And care groups give us an opportunity to love each other in a smaller group level. Now, I realize you can love people that you've never met in the sense of doing good for them and wishing them well. Only a few weeks ago, we took up a special collection for hurricane victims in Texas and Florida. Now Puerto Rico's been hit as well. And those folks are in our thoughts and prayers. And you generously gave around $5,000 for those hurricane victims. Praise God for that. Those are people you don't know. But we love people best when we see them in eyeball to eyeball, don't we? We love people best with flesh on them that we can see, we can relate to. Jesus said that non-Christians would recognize Christ followers by their love for each other. And the early church knew that Christians loved each other. They just did not understand agape love. They had a hard time dealing with it. They couldn't understand, the non-Christians couldn't understand why Christians cared about each other so much. In the core of our being, we all want to give and receive love. By the way, the opposite of love is not so much hate as apathy. You ever had somebody tell you, "I couldn't care less"? You know, that hurts almost as bad, if not worse, than "I hate you." When somebody says, "I couldn't care less, I am totally, have no emotion for you at all. I couldn't care less," that hurts. You know, kids are struggling for attention, and they'll get it from adults. And if they can't get it through positive means, they'll get it through negative means. Have you noticed that? Care groups are a way we can give and receive love within the congregation by building our sense of community. Remember when you were the new kid on the block and your mom gave you this sermon when you moved into your new house? Well, you want a friend? To have a friend, you've got to be a friend. You've heard that sermon from your mom too, didn't you? The point is, love takes the initiative. If I go into a relationship thinking only, "What can I get from this person? I want to get love from this person. I wish they would love me. I wish they would like me. I wish they would accept me." If that's my first thought, guess what happens? Usually I'm disappointed. But if I go into a relationship thinking, "What can I give to this person? How can I help this person? How can I befriend this person?" then the possibility exists that they return that love toward me, doesn't it? If I go in expecting them to love me and they don't, I'm disappointed. If I go in giving love and then they give it back, I'm thrilled. Take the initiative in our relationships, and care groups give us a perfect opportunity to give and receive Christian love. Jesus said it this way, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." You knew that passage, didn't you? Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Jesus wants us to find the blessing in giving to others and caring for others. You know, it's a lot like marriage. Our relationships are a lot like our marriage relationships. You ever been in talking with somebody and said, "Well, I got a 50-50 marriage relationship. I give 50% and she gives 50%. And I say, "How's that working for you?" "Not too good." You know what the problem is? If I think I'm giving 50%, my mate thinks I'm giving about 20%. Have you noticed that? If I think I'm giving 80, 100%, then they go, "Oh, okay, he's doing all right after all. He's giving 50%. You see, the other person's perception of what you're giving is a lot different than your perception of what you're giving. Love initiates. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? If you don't initiate love, you're just like everybody else. I love people who love me, but you don't got to start the process somewhere, don't you? You've got to initiate. It's a little like going to work. If you focus all the time only on getting the paycheck, work's going to be drudgery. But if you focus on doing a good job and serving others as you do it through your job, and then payday comes around, the payday's almost a serendipity, isn't it? It's that, oh, this is nice. I get to work and I get paid for this too. There you go. You'll probably find some of your friends, current friends in your care group, but you'll also probably make some new friends in your care group. And it's also good for you to get to know new people. We all need to extend our reach of friendship and relationships. So how do you give and share love, especially in care groups? Part of the way is we just meet and greet people. We learn their names, call them by name, extend ourselves a bit to them. Often relationships start with some small talk. We talk about something in the news, something simple from our life. But don't let the relationship end with a small talk. Small talk helps break the ice, but care groups are about more than small talk. Most church four-year conversations are small talk, and it's not to be devalued. We need those. We need to acknowledge each other. We need to say hello. Those are important conversations. But life needs to move beyond small talk towards something that is deeper than that. And care groups are a way for us to deepen that relationship. You can ask questions like, well, what's the high point of your week last week? Or what was a challenge for you lately? Be involved in each other's life. You're not prying, you're inviting them to conversation. So ask open questions that show interest, but you're not prying for information. You just say, hey, you want to share something about your week last week? Let them set their level of disclosure. And although, by the way, you can always ask, how can I pray for you this week? Good care group meetings end with a season of prayer. And that season of prayer is when we share our prayer request with each other. And that's a way of sharing our life with each other. Of course, we also want to listen well. Now, that's a sermon for the preacher, right? You're doing all the listening today. I'm not doing much listening. But I hope on other days I do a good job of listening because I know the value of it. I've learned that most people want my ear much more than my mouth. They're not nearly as interested in my advice as they are being heard. That's important. You can listen well when you ask questions without being too deep and probing, but just invite conversation. Like, is there something else you'd like to share with me today about that event? That way it's totally up to them if they share or not. Listen for feelings and not just the facts in your relationships. Remember Job's three friends that came to, quote, comfort him? They did really well for 7 days when they sat there and kept their mouths shut. When they opened their mouths, that's when all the problems started. Next week, we'll share a lot more about the nuts and bolts of our care group ministry. Be prepared to sign up next week to participate in your care groups for this season. An opportunity to share in relationships, to build relationships, some with people you know and probably some with some people you don't yet know. It's an opportunity to do life together. And by doing life together, we will be stronger for it and more difficult to be pulled away from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God is the greatest of givers, and he has given us the greatest of gifts in Jesus. This morning the question is, have you received that gift of God? Have you become a Christian? Have you repented of your sins and in faith been baptized into Christ? If you've not made that step of obedience, the opportunity is yours today to make that step of faith. To confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, turn your heart from sin toward the Lord, be buried with him in baptism where you're forgiven of your sins, and rise to walk a new life, a new direction, a new Lord, Jesus is in charge, and you're following the Master all the way to heaven. He loves you, and He cares about you, and He calls you, and He calls today. If you need Him today, say yes to Jesus. Let's stand. Let's sing.